Hello, and welcome to the Scott Mize Show, a podcast focused on health, diet, bodybuilding, and philosophy. I interview experts, doctors, coaches, and N equals one case studies to answer your questions about improving health, achieving your best physique, and making sustainable progress. We'll cover topics from carnivore and ketogenic diets, to bodybuilding, to life philosophy, and everything in between. Enjoy the show. This episode is brought to you by Element Electrolytes. This month, we're switching it up with an exclusive offer that's only for VIP Element partners, including CarnivoreCast listeners. You can now receive this free sample pack, along with any regular purchase, when you use my custom link, which is provided in the show notes or my Instagram link in bio. That's drinklmnt.com/CarnivoreCast, all one word. And as I said, I'll include the link in the show notes. Element Electrolytes are convenient, evidence-based, and delicious. And get yours today to help support the show. Thank you.
This is a quick disclaimer before we start the show. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing said here should be taken as medical advice. And please consult with your physician before making any changes to your diet, exercise regime, or medications. Thank you, and on to the show.
Dr. Paul Klodzik is a double board certified emergency and metabolic health physician with 30 years of experience. As a private practice metabolic MD, Dr. Klodzik has used continuous glucose monitoring, CGM, to help thousands of patients lose weight and prevent and reverse disease. In his first book, The Continuous Glucose Monitoring Revolution, Dr. Klodzik presents a comprehensive program for metabolic health success using CGM. He has also been using GLP-1 medications since they were first approved by the FDA in 2017. He was one of the early physician prescribers of these medications to help his patients achieve weight loss and improve metabolic health. And in his practice, he's assisted thousands of patients lose weight, reverse chronic conditions such as prediabetes, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, fatty liver disease, and sleep apnea. Welcome to the show, Dr. Paul.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Scott.
And I'd love to start with just getting a bit of background. How did you first become interested in metabolic health?
Yeah, so my background's in the emergency department. I've spent 25 years as an emergency physician. And what gets all the press in the emergency department is, you know, the gunshot wounds and the overdoses and the multiple traumas. But really what emergency physicians see day in and day out all day long is the vascular complications of our diet and of the obesity and the diabetic epidemics that we've seen over the course of the last 40 years. So that is the heart attacks and the strokes and the diabetic kidney failure and the peripheral vascular disease. And about 7 years ago, I decided to turn from being reactive in the emergency department to being proactive and opened my metabolic health clinic and have been helping primarily middle-aged metabolic syndrome patients since
Amazing.
That time.
And let's start super basic here. I think most of my listeners will be familiar, but just in case they're not, what is blood glucose and why is it important?
Okay, so blood glucose is a source of fuel for your organs. And when I say organs, the best organ to think of is muscles because they're malleable. We can change the size of our muscles. So when we talk about organs during this podcast, think of muscles. So blood glucose serves as a fuel, and it is the preferred fuel of the muscles. I think probably not the best fuel. The best fuel is fat, I think, as you have talked on some of your podcasts in the past. Mm-hmm. But the physiology is this. When you eat a carbohydrate, whether it's sugar or just a complex carbohydrate, pasta, a potato, whatever, it's immediately absorbed as blood glucose in your system. So your blood glucose goes up and the pancreas releases insulin. Insulin then is the key in the lock of your muscles, of your organs, to allow that blood glucose in to serve as a source of energy. So far, so good if that's done in a limited manner. But the problem is, since the 1970s, when we were told to follow the food pyramid and, you know, replaced a lot of the fat we were eating with carbs, when we were told we had to avoid cholesterol, we had to go low fat, what has happened is the blood sugar in our systems is persistently elevated. And when it's persistently elevated, then the muscles in the organs can't take all that glucose. That's what insulin resistance is. So a simple way to think of insulin resistance is the pancreas is releasing insulin for that blood glucose to go into your organs. And the organs are finally saying, hey, we got plenty of blood glucose. We got stored blood glucose in our organs. We have extra blood glucose in the blood. We don't want any more blood glucose. So because blood glucose is damaging, even poisonous to your system in terms of inflammation, then something has to happen with that blood glucose. And it goes to the liver and it gets converted to fat. And then it gets deposited around the middle. So the issue is for most overweight middle-aged Americans, not that they're eating too much fat, but that they're eating too many carbs, and that's getting converted to fat. A low-carb diet, as I'm sure we'll talk about, reverses
that. Interesting. I think that's a great foundation for us to start with. And what is CGM and how does it help? And maybe why is it not just for diabetics?
So CGMs are those devices that were originally developed and used by diabetics. And the original purpose was to help dose their insulin regimens, which makes perfect sense. A CGM is a device that you see on the back of the arm of some of these individuals, and it provides you a 24/7 reading of your blood glucose. So they are great devices to get an understanding of the physiology of what we just discussed. How high is your blood sugar? What is the variability of your blood sugar? And I think they have great, great application for people that want to understand their physiology, and especially for people that are overweight or have a family history of prediabetes or diabetes, because you can put a CGM on and you can get an understanding in a 2-week period of exactly what is going on. What are your risks for prediabetes? How much insulin resistance do you have? So they are great tools. And that's how I use them diagnostically in my practice. I have a 2-week trial where we put a CGM on people. I tell them not to change their diet. Let's see where you live in terms of your blood glucose. Let's follow that along and see what the potential issues are.
And do you have like a preferred, I guess there are a couple most popular CGMs out there. Do you have a preferred one you work with, or what do people look for in a good CGM?
We use the Freestyle Abbott primarily. It's the one that you see on the back of people's arms. Some of the other ones are put on the abdomen. This device made by Abbott Pharmaceuticals is really pretty simple. You just apply it to the back of the arm, you wait an hour, you start scanning, and you get data. So that's my preferred device. Usually we can get a coupon for patients for the first 2-week period, so it doesn't cost them anything for that trial period. And then after that, they might cost in general about $30 to $35 a piece for each 2-week period. So I initially use the devices diagnostically to see where people are related to their blood sugars. And then we transition to use them therapeutically to help guide their low-carb diets.
Carnivore and ketogenic diets can be an excellent way to combat diseases we commonly associate with aging and degeneration in the modern world. But if you're like me, you want to do everything possible to stay in your prime physically and mentally as long as you can, especially with me thinking about starting a family. I really value the most research-backed ingredients and science for bettering the aging process. Today's sponsor is Neurohacker, which packs 7 of the most science-backed senolytic ingredients into one formula called Qualia Senolytic. And you can take it just 2 days a month for fast and noticeable benefits and for a much better aging process. I've been taking Qualia Senolytic for the last month, and I've already noticed a big improvement in my physical and mental energy for my family and friends, and my productivity has improved. I feel invigorated, I feel enthusiastic, and ready to get things done. It's also backed by a 100-day money-back guarantee, so that means you can try it for almost 3 full months, and if you don't like it, there's no risk. You can decide for yourself. If you're in your late 20s or older, adding Qolia Senolytic to your diet can play a crucial role in combating negative aging symptoms. Go to neurohacker.com/Scott for up to 50% off Qolia Senolytic. And as a listener of the show, you can use code Scott at checkout for an extra 15% off your first purchase. Again, it's risk-free. Just go to neurohacker.com/Scott to try Qolia Senolytic with code Scott and start aging on your own terms. Thanks, and back to the show.
And what types of ailments have you helped patients and clients with? I mentioned some in the intro, but going beyond just diabetes, what are some other things you've used CGM and blood glucose management to help with?
So, you know, I believe, you know, blood glucose is the new cholesterol. I think for most people, blood glucose is much, much more important related to the inflammation that's going on in their blood vessels, even in their cartilage. Those glucose molecules attach to your blood vessels. They attach to your red blood cells. That's what a hemoglobin A1C is, that you can measure the amount of blood glucose in your system. That glucose attaches to your cartilage and provides inflammation. So the first thing we do is find out where people are, what are their risks for insulin resistance, you know, how high are their numbers. And my patient population is a selected population. People usually come to me because they want to lose weight, they want to reverse fatty liver disease, they want to reverse prediabetes, they want to put diabetes in remission. Along with that weight loss often comes a lowering of hypertension. Along with that weight loss and decreased blood glucose in your system, bone and joint pain feel better. So I don't want to, you know, sound like a charlatan and this is a panacea, but I think it is the health issue for most middle-aged Americans. So we put people on a program of low-carb diet. I usually, some patients go carnivore, some patients go keto, but most patients go low carb, less than 50 grams a day, 35 to 50 gram a day range. And then we make sure they get adequate protein as well. And so what I tell people, which makes me a little bit different than your standard doc in their office, is let's keep your carbs low. Let's keep your protein high. I don't really care about your fat that much. You know, you eat what you eat in terms of fat. We do talk about good fats and bad fats. And then as we'll probably get into, the other thing I tell people that I think differentiates my program a little bit from what you might get from a standard dietitian or nutrition or primary care doctor is, you know, let's dial back the cardiovascular training and let's dial up the strength training. Because as you get old and we're all losing muscle mass as we age, that's going to be more beneficial to you. It's not like I completely ignore cardiovascular health, but you know, I really feel that strength training for middle-aged Americans is much important, is much more important. And going back to the concept we talked about with insulin, when you increase the size of your muscles, you're increasing the quality and the receptivity of the insulin receptors on your muscles. Mm-hmm. So you're helping lower that blood glucose. You're helping lower your insulin resistance. And you're reversing your metabolic
state. Really interesting. And so are you using, like, in terms of how it works, are you using blood glucose as like, hey, like, how are you using it? Like, if someone's blood glucose is high during the day, if you see certain spikes, what adjustments do you make and how do you use that data?
Yeah, so having data at your fingertips 24/7 is great. You can see how every food you eat affects your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. You can see the variability there. So again, initially, you know, I have patients that come to me and they want to lose 20 pounds, but we find after putting on a CGM that they're spiking to 160, so they're really pre-diabetic.
Wow.
And then if you dig down and do more detailed testing, and the most important detailed test is a fasting insulin level, which I think doing a fasting insulin level, I think, is almost more important than doing a cholesterol level, because it helps drill down on your level of insulin resistance. So then you assess where insulin resistance is, which you can have well before you were even diagnosed as pre-diabetic. And then we put a program together based on that insulin data and the first 2 weeks CGM data. And the program generally consists of low-carb diet, like we talked about, appropriate intermittent fasting, and then strength training, because all three of those things are the tools to reverse insulin resistance. That helps people lose weight and reverse those conditions. You know, vascular inflammation and weight gain ultimately results in you know, hypertension, high cholesterol. It's amazing. I put people on a low-carb, high-fat diet, and you see hardly any change in their cholesterol. Their triglycerides plummet because triglycerides are converted or created by the conversion of blood glucose to fat in the liver. Triglycerides often drop in half. And then we're able to decrease that vascular inflammation, which can reverse joint pain. You know, again, when you have this variability in your blood sugar, if you level it out, it even can help people with energy levels. You know, there's a whole new group of people that are looking at ketosis and stable blood sugar levels related, you know, to mental issues as well. I think certainly mental clarity improves when you get rid of those ups and downs. There's a Harvard psychologist, Chris Palmer, who's written a book on how he believes ketosis can also help with some mental conditions, even depression and anxiety, and he even goes further than that with bipolar disorder. And just as an aside, that makes perfect sense because keto diets originally were developed for kids with pediatric seizures before we had medicines.
Right.
Then keto diets were used to control pediatric seizures. So there's no question that there is some brain interaction there and benefit from lowering your blood glucose and then possibly getting.
Have you seen that with your patients, the improvements in mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People, I mean, the common response is that their energy is improved and their mental clarity is improved. I have had some patients with a history of depression, you know, sometimes go along with metabolic syndrome because people that are depressed eat a lot and they feel their depression gets better. You know, there have not been lots and lots of formal studies on that brain effect, but certainly I see improvement in my patients. And for your listeners that want to learn more about that, get Chris Palmer's book. It's called Brain Energy.
Fascinating. That's great. And what kind of pushback do you get from, I think low carb, keto, carnivore diets have become more and more mainstream. People are interested, people are intrigued, but what type of resistance do you see from patients when you introduce those types of diets?
Yeah, I think for most of them, it's just getting used to it. Again, most of them that come to me know what I do. They know that what we've done for the last 50 years has not worked as a country and has not worked for them individually. Basically, the food pyramid came in. We increased our carb intake overnight, the result is the epidemics of obesity and diabetes. So I do have a little bit of a selective patient population. They've been searching for something. You know, they've done some research. They know that this is the right approach. You know, low-carb, keto, carnivore, it's just going back to the way we ate for generations before we were told to increase our carb intake and, you know, the food processing industry, you know, took off in the 70s and 80s. So it just makes intuitive sense. We're just really going back to the way we used to eat, you know, before we were told by the government and the food processing industry and the pharmaceutical industry that really the approach needs to be just, you know, low fat. So my patients embrace it. You know, sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge for somebody that's been eating 300 grams of carbs a day to get under 50, so we can work with them incrementally. But once, you know, they get positive feedback, once they're losing weight, once they feel better, you know, it's reinforcing. And so,
yeah,
again, absolutely. Patients do well.
And you talked about weight training over cardio. Can you expand on that a little bit? Like, how do you explain that to your patients? And then, how do you get them comfortable? Because a lot of people are afraid of lifting weights. They think they'll get injured or they think they'll just get bulky, especially some women. How do you communicate that with your patients?
Yeah, so I've had no patient, no woman, and the majority of my patients are middle-aged women. You know, the women seem to get it that they need to do something a little bit more than men. I've had nobody get bulky and have a problem in that regard. In fact, I would say the opposite. I have people, women, middle-aged women come to me, they've never lifted, and we start slow. You know, we start with a very slow. I have a health regimen. I have a health coach that works with me. And again, what I do is I say follow the American Heart Association criteria for cardiovascular training, which is get your heart rate to 80% of your max for 75 minutes a week, or 65% of your max for 150 minutes a week. So let's do that baseline. I like the 75 minutes because then if your workout time allows for you to have, you know, 3.5, 4, 5 hours a week, that then you can spend the rest of the time in the weight room, increase your muscle mass. An issue for all of us as we age, because we lose 7% of our muscle mass as we age. Huge issue for women with the risk of osteoporosis as they get older, as maybe we'll get into. Huge issue for anybody that's on GLP-1 medications, because they can help, they lower muscle mass as you're losing weight. I'm talking about Wegovy, Ozempic, et cetera. So basically get your minimal cardiovascular in, and then spend the rest of your time on strength training. And I'll mention I did a TikTok on this subject, which was get off the expletive cardio machines, which kind of went semi-viral. And I explained that approach. I mean, don't get completely off them, but let's change the emphasis here. I had one patient that was a middle-aged woman that had never lifted before. We start slow, so bands, you know, sometimes some body weight exercises, 5 or 10 pound weights, and then they progress from there. You know, some of them, you know, are inhibited to go to the gym. They've never been to a gym. They feel, you know, a little bit uncomfortable as they've never been in that setting or that culture. So we start at home with bands and weights, and then we progress. Sometimes they increase their weights at home. Sometimes they will get a gym membership. I had one woman that embraced this, had never lifted in her life. She comes into for appointment with me, and she says, "I'm brushing my hair in the mirror on a given day," and she noticed for the first time she has a bicep for the first time in her life. And she was so excited, and she went on to, you know, decrease her body fat percentage, increase her muscle mass, and had a great result. So again, you know, strength training should be the
Yeah,
emphasis for
that's it.
middle-aged people. Yeah.
What are GLP-1 agonists and how do they work?
Okay, so GLP-1s are the new weight loss drugs that are out. They originated for treatment of diabetes because they lower blood sugar, but they don't cause hypoglycemia. They don't cause low blood sugar. So the drug companies saw that they controlled blood glucose, and then the people on them also lost weight. So they went back and did studies. Ozempic then was restudied, became Wegovy. Mounjaro, as for diabetics, was restudied, has just been released as Zepbound. I think these are the genie is out of the bottle on these medications, and I think they're going to become the most prescribed medications in the history of the world over time. They can be good medicines if used properly. And I sprinkle them in. For some of my patients that have a stall or want to get a jump on their weight loss. And I do that with low doses for limited periods of time. There are downsides to these medications. The biggest one is that you don't want to start a medication, I believe, and create lifelong dependence on that medication. I don't want a patient to come in, you know, I might see a patient that's 28 years old. Am I going to start a medicine that they're dependent on for the rest of their life? So, you know, they're good medicines. I congratulate, you know, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk for developing these. They're going to have a lot of different applications, but, you know, their business model, which is appropriate for a pharmaceutical company, is that obesity is a chronic condition. You're going to need to be on this medication for the rest of your life. I don't think that's the appropriate approach. So I use limited doses, not maximal doses. I use them for limited periods of time, registered in months, not years. And the goal is to begin with the end in mind, which is when you start these medicines, what is the titration plan to eventually get off these
Yep, makes a lot of
medicines?
sense. Yeah, it's very interesting seeing the proliferation of these drugs and their use in popular media and by celebrities. I think there are a lot of myths that come out about them in both directions. One being like they're a cure-all, they'll solve everything, and then the other, they're heavily demonized as being dangerous and having all these side effects. I think the thing that's most interesting to me is people talking about how they cause like lean mass loss, bone and muscle loss. But it seems that that can be, at least looking at the mechanism of action of GLP-1 agonists, they work on leptin receptors. So they basically just make you feel more full and they slow down digestion and manage blood glucose, as you said. So it doesn't really make sense that they would be taking off muscle mass. I think the problem is people go on these, they eat like a bird, they don't exercise. And whenever you lose a ton of weight, whether you're on Ozempic or not, if you're not exercising and you're not eating adequate protein, you're going to lose muscle, is the way I see it.
And that's absolutely right. Anybody that's on these medications needs to be strength training, and they need to get adequate protein. For people that don't have kidney issues, minimum of 100 grams of protein a day. Very critical to do that. And we're losing 7% of our muscle mass as we age. The women and the men actually too are at risk for osteoporosis as we age. You increase that muscle mass, you put a little bit more stress on your bones. That helps you retain calcium in your bony structure. So anybody that's using these medicines, I think, should be on a strength training program. It is a mistake not to do that.
Interesting. What made you decide to write the book and talk about what people can learn from it?
Yeah, I mean, CGMs, seeing a CGM graph for the first time can be life-changing. So you can have a primary care doc in their office talking to a patient for years about your blood sugar and it's a little bit high, et cetera. But then when patients see those graphs of what's happening related to what they eat, to their blood sugar, and they see it rise and fall, and they see it at a high level, it can change their lives. As my patients have put it, once you see that, you cannot unsee it. Once you see what a donut does, or a piece of pizza does, in terms of your blood sugar, you cannot unsee it. There is an aha moment then. You become knowledgeable about what's going on with your physiology. And when I saw that related to CGMs, I felt there was no guide out there for people that wanted to use CGMs and use them smartly. To monitor their physiology, to lose weight, to decrease the inflammation in their body. So that's the reason I put the book together, because the last chapter in the book is CGMs change lives. And I absolutely believe that. You put a CGM on and you see that pattern that you've never seen before. And if it's a problem for you, you can't unsee it. And it really can change your approach to your diet and your workout regimens, et cetera. So obviously I'm passionate about it. I wear one myself all the time to help guide my diet, and I've seen such great success. People losing 40, 60 pounds. You see, I see. I had a 19-year-old patient's parents were diabetic. He was 270, about 6 foot, going down one road. He embraced the data on a CGM, and now his life has changed. He lost 60 pounds. He's not going to head down that road. And I see that time and time again in my patients and how it changes their lives. I had a middle-aged woman who managed a dental practice. She was having difficulty at work because of her weight. She had responsibility for caring for grandchildren, and she just like kind of dreaded watching the grandkids because she couldn't keep up with them. A CGM guided her to lose 45 pounds, reverse her prediabetes. So, it really can, this can really impact people's lives. And that's why I felt the book was
Absolutely.
important.
And it's tremendous to see the work you're doing with patients and with clients, and now being able to help more and spread it to the masses with your book is really amazing to see, and really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm the first book, I've enjoyed
first
it.
First of several, I think. Well, thank you for coming on, Dr. Paul. This has been fantastic. Great to meet you. Where can folks learn more, find out about you, and get their hands on the book? And I'll have links to all of it in the show notes as well.
Thanks a lot, Scott. So the book is on Amazon, and audio as well, Kindle. It's The Continuous Glucose Monitor Revolution for Non-Diabetics. It's the best-selling book on CGMs on Amazon. And then my medical practice is primarily a telemedicine practice. So I'm licensed in Ohio, Indiana, Florida, and Arizona. So I see patients in all of those states with, the diagnostic and then therapeutic program that we talked about. And then I'm available on all the social media channels. I should mention the website for the medical practice is metabolicmds.com. And I'm on Twitter as Dr. Colo, and TikTok is Dr. Colo, K-O-L-O. And we have Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn as well. So there's lots of information. I post regularly if you want to learn more about what we do. And then also mentioned as well, the TikTok stuff. It kind of took off for me. So there's a lot of, I got probably 40 or 50 TikToks out there now.
Well, thank you, Dr. Paul. Really appreciate you coming on, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I really enjoyed this.
Right. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can find the Scott My Show on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Please leave a comment, like, review, or share the podcast with your friends or followers. It helps more people find the show.